There was once a young man named Melvin who appeared before the heavenly court. "What mitzvahs have you done to merit entering heaven? We do not see in our books anything special," they said. "Well, I can think of one thing," Melvin replied. "On a trip to Richmond, Virginia, I came upon a gang of bikers who were threatening a young woman. I directed them to leave her alone, but they wouldn't listen. So I approached the largest and most heavily tattooed biker and smacked him on the head, kicked his bike over, ripped out his nose ring, and threw it on the ground. I yelled, 'Now back off, or you'll answer to me.' The angels were impressed. 'When did this happen?' they said. Melvin answered, just a couple of minutes ago." Today we are continuing our study of Paul's letter to the Romans. In Romans chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, Paul writes, "To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger." Here Paul describes two roads that we can travel, two possible destinies that every human being has before them. This morning, I would like to talk about the first one, the road to eternal life. And I have 3 points. First, keep up the mitzvahs. Second, do we know where we are going? And third, the treasure we have to share. Let's begin with number one, keep up the mitzvahs. In Romans chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, Paul describes what people on the road to eternal life look like, what characterizes them. How does he put it? He says in verse 7 that the people on this road are those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. What is persistence? Persistence means that you don't give up. You see obstacles and you determine to overcome them rather than to surrender to them. The other day, I woke up to the sound of the garbage truck rattling through our neighborhood. I remembered that I had not taken the garbage can to the curb the night before, so I quickly got dressed, ran downstairs, put my shoes on, and grabbed the garbage can. But it was too late. Has that ever happened to you? It was too late. The garbage truck had already passed. I watched as it drove farther and farther away, picking up my neighbor's garbage. At that point, I had a decision to make. Bring the garbage can, the empty garbage can, back to the house with the garbage, I'm sorry, the full garbage can back to the house with the garbage still in it, or come up with plan B. In that moment, an idea came to me. The truck was heading toward the end of the cul-de-sac and would then turn back in my direction to take the garbage cans from across the street. What if I were to bring my garbage can across the street and intercept the garbage man on his way back? I hesitate to call this an inspiration from God, but if God is concerned about everything in our lives, then I guess he can be concerned about my taking garbage out. So I went across the street and waited for the garbage man to come back. When he saw me, he smiled, hit the button, and that giant hydraulic arm came down and swooped my garbage into his truck. Back down came the empty can. After the garbage truck passed by, I crossed back to my driveway and returned the now empty garbage can to the side of our house. The garbage can was empty, but I was filled with a sense of victory. I persevered. I didn't give up until my garbage was taken. In the same way, we all have to persevere when it comes to doing good. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Do the good that you know God wants you to do. In Romans chapter 2, verse 7, Paul is saying that persevering in doing good, that is, persevering in doing mitzvahs and not giving up, is what characterizes the people on the road to eternal life. These people do not do mitzvahs just to feel good about themselves. They do mitzvahs, good deeds, because they seek glory, honor, and immortality. What does it mean to seek glory, honor, and immortality? I've read those words many times, but only this week did I stop to pause and look closely at what those words actually might mean. One possibility is that it means the people on the road to eternal life are people who persevere in good deeds in order to experience God's eschatological reward, which in first century Jewish thought could be described as glory, honor, and immortality. In support of this interpretation, Paul speaks about God's final judgment a number of times in Romans chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. Given this context, we should ask ourselves this question: are we doing mitzvahs, good deeds, in order to feel good about ourselves? Or, by faith, are we doing mitzvahs in order to hear Hashem say to us one day, Kol HaKavod, when we appear before his thunderous throne? Another way of interpreting Paul's words in Romans chapter 2, verse 7, is that those who are on the road to eternal life are those who persevere in good deeds in order to lift up and extol God's honor, God's glory, and God's immortality. Psalm 29, verses 1 through 2 says, let's all say this together. Ascribe to Adonai, O mighty ones. Ascribe to Adonai glory and strength. Ascribe to Adonai the glory due his name. In support of this interpretation, Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, that one of the indications of man's fall into sin is that our ancestors did not glorify the immortal God or honor him. Thus, Paul may be saying in Romans chapter 2, verse 7, that those on the road to eternal life are those who have made a U-turn in this matter and persevere in good deeds in order to glorify and honor the living God, the immortal God. Is this our motivation? Do we persevere in good deeds and mitzvahs in order to feel good about ourselves, or in order to glorify the immortal God and honor him? Do we see ourselves among the crowd in the vision that John Yochanan describes in Revelation chapter 5, verse 13? There, Yochanan says, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Do we see ourselves in this picture? Do we hear ourselves singing this song? Is this what motivates all that we do? To give honor and glory forever and ever to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Along similar lines, Yeshua said that the person who loves Adonai with his whole being is on the road to eternal life. We are told in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28. On one occasion, an expert in the Torah stood up to test Yeshua. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the Torah?" Yeshua replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Yeshua replied. Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear that? "You have answered correctly." Don't we want to hear the Lord say that to us? "You have answered correctly," Yeshua replied. "Do this, and you will live." Paul may be saying the same thing in Romans chapter 2, verse 7. That is, the person who lives to glorify and honor the immortal God, the person who lives to love the Lord with all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his strength and all of his mind, is on the road to eternal life. And at the final judgment, he or she will receive glory and honor and immortality as his or her heavenly reward. And this brings us to my second point. Do we know where we are going? Recently, I have been swimming with Harumi at the JCC. We swim in the same lane, which I really like. I call it the Married's Lane. But in order to do this, I have to be careful not to run into Harumi. The problem is that because both of us are doing the backstroke, or actually, it would be more accurate to say Harumi is doing the backstroke, and I am attempting to do it, I have to be careful not to swerve into her, since I can't really see where I am going. Can we see where we are going spiritually? The subject of eternal life is not something that is often discussed by Jews today, at least not in the non-Orthodox world. However, in traditional Jewish sources, it is discussed a lot. How to have life in the world to come? Who has a share in the world to come? And who does not? These are all topics of interest to our sages. And these should be topics of interest to us as well, since the apostolic writings speak a lot about these subjects. At the same time, as Messianic Jews and Messianic Gentiles, we need to avoid the tendency that I see sometimes in the evangelical world to make the goal of experiencing eternal life the main focus of the Besorah, the good news, or the gospel. The gospel is a story that we are called to share. It is the story of Yeshua as it flows out of the story of Israel. Embracing the gospel, accepting the gospel, rejoicing in the gospel, the good news, means that we see ourselves and our people in that story. The ultimate goal of the Besorah, the gospel, is not to point people to eternal life, but to make disciples of Yeshua and to point people to their place in the story. Let me say that again. The ultimate goal of the Besorah, the gospel, is not to point people to eternal life, but to make disciples of Yeshua and to point people to their place in the story. The story of Yeshua as it flows out of the story of Israel. As Scott McKnight puts it in his book, The King Jesus Gospel, there is an important difference between the gospel and the plan of salvation. This caveat stated, we are commanded by the Shaliach Shimon in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Messiah may be ashamed of their slander. Every time I give a message, I try to get a sense from the Lord of something that he wants to say to our community. And this week, I felt the Lord dropped into my heart an exhortation that we need to be prepared for kiruv, for outreach, and that we need to take to heart Peter's words, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. On this note, it is important to recognize that most Jewish people today in the United States, including Richmond, by the way, Richmond was voted in U.S. News and World Report, as I understand it, the happiest city in the United States. Isn't that great? The happiest city in the United States. And what is the center of that happiest city? Tikvat Israel. We're right at the center of this happy city. And what does that tell you? As I said, it is important to recognize that most Jewish people today in the United States, including Richmond, are not sure about heavenly realities. We are a happy city, but the Jewish community in our city is not sure about heavenly realities. According to the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, a 2007 study, 83% of Jewish people believe in God. But of that 83%, only 25% think that he is a personal God. 50% think he is an impersonal force, and 8% don't know. 53% of Jewish people say the Hebrew Scriptures are written by men and are not the Word of God. 39% of Jewish people believe in an afterlife. Or to put it another way, 61% do not. Only 38% of Jews believe in heaven. 22% of Jews believe in hell. My brothers and sisters, as Messianic Jews and Messianic Gentiles, we need to reassure our brothers and sisters in the wider Jewish community that the God of Israel is a personal God, that the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament are the Word of God, and that there is absolutely, with all certainty, an afterlife and a judgment around the corner. Our job, according to Peter, is to always be prepared to share the reason for the hope that we have, and to do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. I think that the more we reassure our Jewish friends and family members of these heavenly realities in love and gentleness and respect, and share our own testimonies explaining the reasons why we have come to believe as we do, then the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, will speak into their hearts and do the rest. We need to recognize that most Jewish people do not have a sense of assurance that they will be with the Lord in the world to come. Several years ago, a friend of ours gave us two tickets to a Matis Yahu concert in Los Angeles. The tickets were our guarantee that we could get in to the concert. When Harumi and I arrived at the concert, they let us in because we had the tickets. Oy, was that a loud concert. I wish I hadn't gone in. I wanted to say, could you please turn down the volume? There are people here who want to hear after they leave the concert. Without those tickets, we would have had no assurance of getting into the concert. Sure, we might have been able to work something out if our friend had not given them to us. but it would have been a risk, and there would have been no guarantee of getting through the doors. We need to explain to our Jewish friends and family members that this is how it is with the world to come. Unless Hashem gives us the guarantee, we cannot know where we are going because of the heights of God's holiness and the depths of our sinfulness, despite our being made in the image of God. Even in traditional Judaism, no one has a guarantee from God that they will be entering the Olam Haba, the world to come. How do I know this? Because even the saintly Yochanan ben Zakkai, a first century sage, did not know if he would enter God's presence after he left this world. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was on his deathbed weeping, his disciples said to him, "O Master, O tall pillar, light of the world, mighty hammer, why are you weeping?" Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai replied, "Do I now go to appear before a king of flesh and blood, whose anger, if he should be angry with me, is but of this world, and whose chastising, if he should chastise me, is but of this world, whom I can moreover appease with words or bribe with money? Truly I go rather to appear before the King of kings of kings, the Holy One, blessed be he, whose anger, if he should be angry with me, is of this world and the world to come, and whom I cannot appease with words or bribe with money." Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai continued, "Moreover, I have before me two roads, one to paradise and one to Gehenna. And I know not whether he will sentence me to Gehenna or admit me to paradise." And of this a verse says, "Before him shall be sentenced all those that go down to the dust, even he that cannot keep his soul alive. And should I not weep?" His disciples said to him, "Master, bless us." Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to them, "May it be God's will that the fear of heaven be upon you as much as the fear of flesh and blood." How could Yochanan ben Zakkai say, "I have before me two roads, one to paradise and one to Gehenna, and I know not whether he will sentence me to Gehenna or admit me to paradise"? It is because this sage of ours understood the heights of Hashem's holiness and the depths of his sinfulness. The heights of Hashem's holiness and the depths of Yochanan ben Zakkai's sinfulness. Can any Orthodox Jew today claim to be more pious than Yochanan ben Zakkai? I don't think so. If Yochanan ben Zakkai did not have a guarantee from Hashem to get into heaven, kol vachomer, how much more is it the case with observant Jews today? The traditional theology surrounding the high holidays which are coming, of making sure that one's name is inscribed in the book of life through repentance, tzedakah, charity, and good deeds, and the reality of not knowing if one's name is inscribed even by the day of Yom Kippur, underscores that our tradition and our liturgy recognizes that there is nothing solid to stand on as a guarantee from Hashem. There is only one place we can turn to get a guarantee from Hashem that we will be with him in the world to come. And this brings us to my last point, the treasure that we have to share. All of us who are Messianic Jews and Messianic Gentiles have found the treasure that the rest of the Jewish world lacks, the guarantee from Hashem that we will have a share in the world to come. This guarantee is possible because Yeshua died for our sins as a sacrifice of atonement. This was prophesied about more than 500 years before the prophet Isaiah, before Yeshua came, when the prophet Isaiah said about the coming one, more than 500 years before Yeshua came, that the coming one would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, and that the Lord would lay upon him the iniquities of us all. It was Hashem's will to make his life a substitutionary offering in order to bear the sin of us all. Yeshua's resurrection, which was witnessed by more than 500 people who testified to what they saw, proves that God accepted his sacrifice for our sins. Yeshua the Messiah was sent by Hashem for this purpose of blotting out our sins. That is why belief in Yeshua can serve as Hashem's guarantee of our having a share in the world to come. That is why through him we can know for certain that our names are written in the book of life. It's because Yeshua went ahead of us and he made the way. If there is anyone here today who is like Yochanan ben Zakkai and does not know where you are going, if you lack the guarantee that you will be with Hashem in the world to come, I want to encourage you to take a step this Shabbat to get that guarantee by putting your emunah, your trust in Yeshua. Yeshua said in John chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, no one, let's all say this together, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Yeshua says in John chapter 6, verse 40, let's all say this one together, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And finally, Yochanan says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, and let's all say this one together, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know, let's say that again, so that you may know, one more time, so that you may know, so that you may know that you have eternal life. My brothers and sisters, we have been given a great treasure, the assurance of eternal life, the knowledge that we have a share in the world to come. Let us always be prepared to give the reason for the hope that we have and to share it with gentleness and respect and love, keeping a clear conscience before God. We are very blessed to know Hashem personally, to be aware of heavenly realities, and to know for certain that we will be with him in the world to come, because of the Messiah's sacrifice for us. Today we have talked about the road to eternal life, and I had 3 points. First, keep up the mitzvahs, the good deeds, and do them for the honor and the glory of the immortal God. Second, do we know where we are going? Are we like Yochanan ben Zakkai? Or do we know that Yeshua has gone ahead of us, has laid down his life for our sins, and that through believing in him, we can have the assurance, the guarantee from Hashem of a share in the world to come? And finally, third, the treasure we have to share. Let's pray. Avinu Sheba Shemayim, our